In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Please be seated. In some ways, the Ascension is the most practical of feasts. The crucifixion and resurrection are majestic in many ways, hard to understand. The Ascension is a necessary piece of that puzzle of God's plan of salvation. God sees our sin, perceives our walking away from Him in His Garden of Paradise plan, and puts into place this plan of salvation where He takes on our flesh, He takes on creation in order to sanctify it, in order to bless it. He takes on our human nature in order to join it to His divinity. And as part of that joining His divinity to our humanity, He dies for us. He is willing to be humiliated and to suffer for us. And this is the first key that we have to understand. The first key is that why we die and how we die and how we lay down our lives are essential to God's plan. If I get hit by a bus because I didn't look where I was going, I'm a fool. If I get hit by a bus because I'm pushing somebody else out of the way to save their life, I'm a hero. And our lives are simply lived in that way. Either we live them sacrificially for others and we participate in the heroism and the sacrifice of Christ, or we simply don't look where we're going and we come into harm's way. So the decision is ours to participate in that humbling and that self-sacrificial nature of Christ's crucifixion as He dies for us. And then He rises for us. He takes our humanity up out of the grave, and He takes us up out of the grave with Him. He takes us out of death into newness of life, and we participate with that in baptism. We participate as we celebrate the resurrection, as we cry Hosanna, and we sing Christ is risen, and we look for the resurrection of the dead. Our eyes are on that hope or on that prize. And then as Jesus for 40 days ministers to the apostles, as He appears to the church and to so many, we see this miracle of the resurrected body. We come to understand the strangeness of this resurrected body, that it isn't easily recognizable, but recognizable when the Lord breaks bread with us, recognizable when He calls us by name. And we begin to understand that we're not looking for certain facial features when we come to know Jesus. We're looking for our hearts to burn within us. We're looking for our names to be called. We're looking to participate in His body and blood, and we're looking for His Holy Spirit to transform us so that we can recognize Him and His plan for our lives. But then Christ is among them. Christ is walking, and they're looking for Him. And we saw all the way through His ministry how the crowds would crush upon Him, how these thousands would try to find Him and try to press in to touch Him. And this is where I mean that the Ascension is practical, because could you imagine if you knew that Christ was walking among us now in this way, right? We couldn't get enough plane tickets and airline tickets, and what kind of a crush would that be? And what would that mean for us? That would mean that we were constantly looking out, and rather than looking to see how is God transforming me, what is changing in my heart, what is the Holy Spirit doing to transform me and to sanctify me so that I might participate in the body of Christ. And so when He ascends to the Father, He ascends to the Father to that right hand, to that place of glory. That's part of our hope, right? Not only that we participate in the resurrection of the dead, not only that we too will have resurrected bodies, but that we will go to dwell with our Father in paradise, that we'll live with the Father, that we'll be in that mansion with many rooms, that we'll be able to be in that throne room, that we'll be able to sit upon the throne with Christ, that we'll be able to be in His lap, as it were, in the lap of Abba Father. And so we have this hope, we have this desire to be with the Lord, but the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And so we are being transformed, we are being changed into these living stones, we're being renewed now into this temple where Christ would dwell. And now this is the mystery that we're struggling to understand, this mystery of the Holy Spirit living within us, of Christ being within us and changing us, and him being at the throne of the Father, at the right hand of the Father, and that hope that we have to have that perfection, that fullness of living with him in paradise, finally manifested, finally made known. And that is the hope that we have, and the passage and the pathway that we're on right now. And that's what we're doing in our Acts 1:14 prayer time. We have now 10 days between this night and Pentecost, where we can be with the disciples and we can pray with them and rejoice with them and be about that business that they were about. What were they doing? They were waiting upon the Lord. They were waiting upon the Holy Spirit to reveal himself and to manifest himself in a new and powerful way. This is what we're praying for and we're looking for. We are praying and looking to see how God makes himself known to those that we love and care about. We are praying diligently every day that God manifest himself to these people that have not committed their lives to him. And so I encourage you to take your Acts 1:14 tool home, this brochure, to fill a page if you need to, of the names of those that you're going to pray for, but that you do that diligently and purposefully and prayerfully. And then he will manifest himself, because that's what he does. That's what he has done. That's what he is doing. That's what he will do, right? He is faithful. He's making himself known. We're the ones that aren't always faithful, right? God does his part, and somebody comes to us and says, "Hey, I think I met Jesus." Are we ready to say, "Thanks be to God, and this is his heart for you. This is what he's doing for you, and this is what he's done for me"? Are we ready? So that's the second piece, to us be prayerfully ready to commend the faith that is within us, that we be ready when they come to us. And then that we be ready as a church. We're not always ready as a church. I'm not always ready as an individual, and we're not always ready as a church. Sometimes we're doing other things, right? We're celebrating, or we're encouraging one another, or we have our own woundedness, or we're tired, or we're distracted, or whatever it is, we're afraid, and we're not ready as a church body. We need to be ready, and we need to be praying that we as a church body, as a family, as a fellowship, are ready when somebody comes in the door to say, "I think I met Jesus," to say, "This is who he is, and this is what he wants for you, and this is what he's done for us." We need to be ready. And we won't be ready without prayer. But with prayer we'll be ready. We'll be faithful. God is faithful. He has resurrected his son. He has promised that we will be resurrected too. He has ascended to the right hand. He has promised that we too will ascend and sit with him upon his throne. And he has promised that he will reveal himself to the world. May we be agents and ministers, a priesthood of all believers, ready to bring blessing and glory and honor to his name.